So this is Myrna Jane Yu with Epigeospatial, speaking with Nick Haig, who is a NASA astronaut, and he is, I believe, going to space, to the International Space Station in February. Is that when you're scheduled to go now, Nick?
Yes, that is the plan. The 28th of February, and at I think 6:42 p.m. Central Time, I'll be blasting off from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan.
Great. That is so exciting. I know that a lot of people realize what happened. Do you want to share just really briefly, kind of what happened when you did not make it a few months ago?
Yeah, so almost to the day, 2 months ago, October 11th, my crew, Alexei Avchenin, my commander, and myself were launching to the space station on the same launch pad we're going to use at the end of February. And 2 minutes into the launch, during the first stage separation event, one of the external boosters didn't separate properly and collided back into the rocket, essentially causing the rocket to disintegrate. As that happened, the abort system detected the problem with the rocket, and it pulled us away safely from the rocket. And then we essentially performed a standard landing in the Soyuz re-entry capsule underneath a parachute, and then landing in the middle of the Kazakh steppes, and were rescued by SAR forces, search and rescue forces, minutes after our capsule touched down.
That's really incredible. I know that you've, you know, had a lot of really great coverage of that incident. It's incredible how well it went, right? Considering how dangerous that sounds, and that something went wrong, but actually for something going wrong, it went very well and no one was injured and everything like that, right?
Absolutely. And that's a testament to the system, the program that's in place over in Russia to launch crews on the Soyuz rocket and the Soyuz spacecraft. You know, they hadn't exercised a launch abort in 35 years. And when it was needed, it worked flawlessly. And when the search and rescue forces needed to respond, they responded flawlessly. And they've got a really great program over there. And it was impressive to see it in action.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I know that you're very excited that you're going to be able to actually go back and go to the space station in February. Is it still planned to be for a 6-month period?
Yeah, you know, it's roughly 6 months and maybe a little bit longer, a few weeks, more or less 6 months. And it's exciting to get up there. You train, you know, I've been down here at NASA since 2013 and have essentially trained continuously. So you've got like 5 years of training building up to spending 6 months on the space station. So it's exciting to get the opportunity, especially to have it so soon, to go and try to do this again. It's going to be thrilling to fly around the world for 6 months.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, thank you for being willing to let us publish some of your photos from the space station. We're looking forward to that. Epigeospatial, the magazine, really is about leveraging data about the Earth from space, ultimately to benefit humanity. And so I think that the photos that are taken from there are so important. We publish photos from satellites on a regular basis, and I'm excited to kind of expand our scope a little bit and publish photos from the space station as well. And then I also wanted to share, we also have a partnership with CASIS, the Space Station National Lab. And so I know you'll be doing some experiments. We're going to be publishing sort of on a regular basis some of the experiments about remote sensing. And I wondered if you had any idea yet what kind of experiments you'll be working on.
You know, so it's one of the surprising things about the program is with long duration spaceflight, being up there for 6 months, they can't exactly script out what we're going to do. The impact of my launch abort and the shuffle of everything that's going to happen up there is just one example of how fluid the program is. So what they do in the training leading up to it is they train us to have skills to be able to generic skills so that we can apply those to any particular experiment that we're required to support. So two-thirds of the science that I'm going to do up there, I won't see until they ask me to do it on orbit. Wow. That's a little daunting, you know, hey, here you're seeing it for the first time and I don't want you to mess it up, but, you know, go do it. But it's also it's a testament to the training team down here getting us prepared to be able to do something like that. The things I'm most familiar with are the ones where I'm a human test subject. So I'm the guinea pig in the thing, and they're trying to see how I respond to changes in weightlessness without gravity as a vector. You know, an example of one experiment is if you think about it, everything you use in terms of internal navigation inside your head about keeping a mental map of where you're at in a building and being able to find your way from point A to point B, it's all anchored on this idea of you always know where down is. And so it's not uncommon up there for astronauts to get lost inside the space station, even though it's so small, because you don't have any sense of where down is. So there's several experiments I'm doing that are looking at how we create those mental maps, and they're looking at the effects of microgravity or not having that strong down direction, how that changes how our brain works, you know, taking images of our brain before launch and then taking images after we land and seeing if there's any structural changes, being able to perform virtual reality tasks, our perception of time and time dilation, is there any impact on that? There's all these different aspects that we're trying to look into.
That is really fascinating. And you know, I'm sure that you guys are so well trained. There's so many different experiments that are going to happen. You're turning in, I mean, you become a scientist, a true scientist as well, right? By doing these experiments that are different and not really related to space.
I that might be giving me a little too much credit. So I wouldn't say that I'm turning into a scientist. But they've trained me to be a scientist, eyes and ears and hands, and be able to perform the experiments. But I mean, really, I'm collecting the data, and I'm sending the data down to PhDs on the ground that are making the discussion.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I know there's experiments on microbiology and, I mean, all kinds of things that are happening.
You name it. We're looking into it. And so it'd be impossible. You know, you could take a scientist that's an expert in one area. And if they became an astronaut, they still have to learn how to do all of these other things. So it's impossible to put the expert up there, to be able to cover all the fields that we're looking into. So we really are being trained to be the eyes and the ears, the observation platform, and a little bit of the elbow grease that's going to make the science happen. That's what we are up there.
I see. Okay. That really helps to clarify kind of how that works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd ask what you think about all the new commercial space companies that are out there these days. You know, there's SpaceX and Blue Origin and so many additional companies now. You know, it's under the umbrella of new space companies. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about those companies. You're going up on a Soyuz, which is a very tried, as you said earlier, tried and true launch vehicle. But I was just curious if you have any thoughts about the new companies.
Yeah, so I think that the energy in the private sector is awesome. The more people that we can get involved with space, I think the better off we're going to be. Bringing, you know, the commercial crew program, for instance, being able to launch crews from the U.S., I think about the impact, the societal impact. Right now, it's very difficult for anybody to go watch somebody launch into space.
Yeah.
It's out in the middle of nowhere. But as soon as we bring it back to the Florida coast, thousands of people are going to be able to experience watching a crew launch into space firsthand. And think of how many people that's going to inspire.
We'll really have a little more national pride again, perhaps, in that way, because it's been such a long time.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I hope it inspires lots of young boys and girls to get involved with STEM fields and want to be a part of the space program. From a program perspective, I think it's a great advancement too, because it gives us a more robust program. You know, my launch report's a great example. If something happens with the Soyuz, we still have other ways to get the crew to orbit and continue the mission, which is ultimately what we're trying to do. So it makes the program more robust. So all that extra energy and all the advancements that these guys are making, nothing but, you know, it's nothing but good news.
Yeah, that's great. I agree with you. And I'm also seeing and really hearing a lot about space tourism, about citizens wanting to go to space. And all the companies, several companies, are really making that a reality. You know, Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin. These, I think that it's really going to be interesting. So it seems just at recent years, and we're in this time frame now, of space being so exciting again. It's all, you know, and it was, some of it is, we're saying space is sexy again, you know, because, but it really is exciting and it really is unbelievable what the potential is, as far as people going to space. And then one thing I'm really fascinated with as well is this concept that when people go to space, whether they're astronauts or not, they look, when you look back at the Earth and see that, you know, the planet, it's such a fascinating thing. And there's like a, there's a change in consciousness that happens to a lot of astronauts and a lot of people, where you just really have a renewed sense of awe or a sense of oneness or something like that. And so we're really interested in covering that as well.
You know, I've heard the same thing. You know, I've heard it termed the overview effect. But it puts things in a slightly different perspective. And so, you know, it's one of those things with spaceflight that I'm looking forward to. I'm experiencing it firsthand and seeing how it affects me is one of those personal highlights that I'm going to have in the mission. And, you know, sharing that with as many people becomes our responsibility once we get back down on the ground and trying to help people understand that. And so I think the idea of tourism in space is again, it's great because the more people that can experience it firsthand, the more that we can get the message out there.
Yeah, I agree. And I always, you know, I love that you said that it's a responsibility. That's how I feel about, you know, with the magazine, that we have a responsibility to share as much information like this as we can as well. So that's really one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing as well. So I'm thrilled that we'll be able to, you know, we can take your message and you know, get that out there for you as well. I wanted to also ask, I know you're from a small town, and I wanted to ask how you feel that the values that you have contributed to your success as an astronaut and just in general in life, if you have any thoughts about that.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where when you're growing up and you're in the thick of it, growing up in a small town in rural Kansas is... it's easy to focus on and it's natural to focus on all the things that are missing. You know, you're just not part of it. And and that's the way I kind of felt growing up, is that I'm outside of it all. You know, the world is happening all around me and I'm just not part of it. Looking back now though, I realized that the small town environment gave me so many opportunities that I might have missed if I was in a larger city. You know, if I was in a school district that had, you know, thousands of students as opposed to a few hundred students in it. And being able to really test out my interests and try everything just to try it. You know, multiple play every sport, be in multiple clubs, try, you know, band, forensics, debate, go ahead and just really spread your wings and test some things out. That's what growing up in a small town did for me. It gave me all those opportunities and really gave me the foundation to move forward in life. And so it was very formative. Now, I know if you ask any high school kid or any junior high kid in a small town in rural Kansas, they're going to kind of gravitate toward, well, I don't have this and the world just goes on without me. But in hindsight, there's no better place to grow up. I'm thankful for the experiences I had growing up in Northwest Kansas.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And I agree with you. It made me also want to go out and do all those things. You know, the first, when I moved to Chicago as soon as I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's great. Nick, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Anything else? Any other final thoughts?
Yeah. So it's, I guess it kind of builds off the last thing, and I appreciate what the you're trying to accomplish with your magazine. It's really about service. What we're doing ultimately is trying to we're trying to give more to others than we give to ourselves. We're trying to be part of something bigger than ourselves, and that's what the space program is about. We're trying to conduct that science. We're trying to explore the unknown. We're trying to discover answers to questions that we don't have the answers for. But we're trying to do that for humanity. We're trying to do that for the benefit of all the people that are on the ground. And that's a vital mission. And it's a vital mission that we've been doing for decades, mm-hmm. continuously. And it's a vital mission that we need to continue to do. But I think whatever you can do to spread the awareness and to reach new demographics, it's to let people know that we are doing this and it is important and we will continue to do it. To spread that awareness to everyone, whatever you can do is a positive. I can't tell you how many people I meet where they've never met an astronaut before and they're surprised to meet me because they didn't know that we were still working in space, that we still had an astronaut program. Because when the shuttle retired, they thought we shuttered the doors. We didn't.
Wow.
We didn't. Yeah. We're continuing. And so spreading the message is a critical job.
That really is important. I think you're absolutely right. I know that as I've learned more and more about the federal government and NASA over the years, and not just NASA, but, you know, NOAA and USGS mm-hmm. and all these agencies, you really are doing such important work. And I agree with you. It's ongoing and it's incredible. So I absolutely love that we have a role in continuing to get the word out about all of that. And, you know, as a media publication, you know, we're a niche publication. Certainly we're not a big consumer publication, but, mm-hmm. but we really do take that seriously as well. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining me today. I'm looking forward to tracking what you're doing and to staying in touch. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure, Myrna. Thank you.